Well, my name's Sarah, if we haven't met before, and I'm the other member of our officer team here at Parramatta Salvos. It's so good to have you here in person, and for all those people who are watching online, it's great to have you join with us in whatever way you can today. Well, we are at week three in our Christmas series. Can you believe that it is the Sunday before Christmas? It seems kind of crazy after the year that we've had, but we're in week three of our series, and if you've been here with us, you'll know that we have been focusing each week on a particular Christmas carol. In week one, we focused on the beautiful words of O Come, Emmanuel, as we've just sung in that song, and then last week, Kylie shared with us about O Come, All Ye Faithful. And this week, we are focusing on the words of Away in a Manger. Away in a manger. It's all very lovely, isn't it? I wonder what comes to mind as we sing that song. Do you picture the nativity scene, you know, Mary and Joseph, baby Jesus in the manger? Now, I don't know why that's the picture that comes to my mind, that it's all beautiful and it's all lovely, because it's not very realistic. It's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? Yeah, they're in a manger. They're in a barn. Jesus is laying there probably in scratchy hay. And supposedly, this baby wakes peacefully, not crying with the lowing of the cattle. Sounds like a dream, doesn't it? Anyone, a recently new parent in the room, new grandparent, is that how your baby wakes? Peacefully, silently? Do you want to know what lowing means? The word lowing in the song? Lowing is the ordinary vocal sound uttered by cattle. It is a moo. But to say the cattle are mooing, the baby awakes, it just isn't very lyrically beautiful, is it? No, so they've changed it to lowing. Have you ever been in a petting zoo at like the Easter show or at a fair? The sounds that come out of those things, right, they are not peaceful, they are not slowly waking a baby. The ordinary vocal sounds there, they're not a lullaby. Away in a manger is chaos. It's not just this beautiful song. Well, it is a beautiful song. But you know what? I just can't imagine when I really think about it, a peaceful scene that is there. But you know, I was thinking this week, perhaps for Mary and Joseph, it was just another chaotic moment in the year that they'd already had. There was nothing normal about their journey up until this point, right? It had been chaotic the whole way along. And yet the Messiah, the promised hope for humanity, arrived. And this week it's caused me to wonder that how often good things are birthed out of the chaos in our lives. In week one, we also took a look at the character Isaiah. Last week we heard about Mary. And this week, as you would have seen on the screen, we look at the story through the eyes of Joseph. So let's jump in. If you've got your Bibles there, I want you to open with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Follow along if you've got your Bible there in real life form or on your phone. Reading from verse 18. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate the marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." So, presumably, Joseph's life is cruising along pretty well when this chaos hits. Mary has been promised to him, pledged to him in marriage. He's found a future partner. Maybe he is dreaming of a future family, maybe some sons to help him out in the business. His life was probably looking pretty sorted. He had this beautiful life together with his promised bride. So I don't think it's very hard for us to imagine his shock when he finds out that Mary is pregnant. His life is plunged into chaos. Even today, I'm going to assume that it would be a fairly big deal if your future fiancé came to you and said that they were pregnant and it was unexplained. That's kind of a big deal. Surely for most people, that's a bit of a deal breaker, right? And then the surrounding customs at the time that Mary and Joseph were together, they just complicate it even more. See, an engagement required abstinence. And for a woman, unfaithfulness to her future husband constituted adultery. The engagement at that time was just as binding between the two people as the future marriage would be. And it could only be terminated by the woman getting a divorce certificate that would allow her to marry another man. So Joseph is facing this serious issue on account of Mary's pregnancy prior to their being united in marriage. And you know, to the average person that day, it absolutely would have appeared that she had been unfaithful. And this supposedly truthful explanation that she gives to Joseph couldn't be verified by anyone. It wasn't normal. There wasn't a precedent for it. So chaos arrives in Joseph's life. Mary's pregnancy is a huge deal. But you know, I love this account in the book of Matthew because how Joseph responds, what follows, it gives us some insight on how we might respond when chaos arrives in our life, because it inevitably does, right? If you're not going through a chaotic season right now, I guarantee you will. Unexpected stuff comes, it shows up out of nowhere. So today, I just want to give you three things, three lessons that we learn from Joseph in this Christmas story from the perspective of Jesus' earthly father. He shows us what we can do when life gets a little bit chaotic. So the first one is this. When life gets chaotic, be considerate. When life gets chaotic, be considerate. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and assume that everyone in this congregation is a considerate person always. Normal circumstance, you're always very considerate people, right? Yeah. Good. One or two of you. Excellent. But the reality is when chaos hits, it's extremely easy not to be a considerate person, right? It's extremely easy to fly off the handle. When chaos hits, do you blow up? Do you rage about it? Do you primarily focus on what the chaos means for you and no one else around you? It's pretty easy in situations of chaos to jump to conclusions, to make quick, rash decisions, to say hurtful stuff to people, to make a dumb choice to act first and to think about it later. That's often sometimes my initial reaction to chaos. So can you imagine being Joseph, right? Finding out this news. We don't really know what happens when he did. Certainly Matthew's account doesn't tell us the thoughts that are going through Joseph's head when he finds out this information. But I reckon we can imagine shock, horror, turmoil, I don't know. But what we do know from the words of Scripture is that Joseph took the time to process. Verses 19 to 20 say, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. And it says, but after he had considered this, then it goes on to tell us what happens. But he considered this. In other words, he thought through and he sought a wise and righteous response. Maybe Joseph spoke to God about it. Maybe Joseph sought out someone in his life and he talked it through with them. But he considered his decision. Before he took action, he considered his decision. And the fact that he had decided to divorce Mary quietly at that time, where really he didn't have to, It says something about his consideration of Mary's life and the impact it was going to have on her as well. He didn't want to disgrace her. He didn't want harm to come to her. What a guy, really. Like, Joseph doesn't get enough credit for that, I don't think. He was a righteous man. He wanted to do what was right. He didn't want to expose this person that he had been promised for life to public shame. He didn't act in a reactionary kind of way in the moment. He took the time to sort out what was going on in his mind before he took action. He spent time reflecting, considering. When things got chaotic in Joseph's life, he was considerate. It's a challenge, isn't it? It's a discipline for us, I think. Certainly, it's a discipline for me. Because it's actually easier to be a reactionary person when the chaos hits. It's easier to throw your hands up in the air, to fly off with the first thing that comes to mind. But being considerate in everything that we do, it actually takes intentionality. So it might be worth asking yourself, what have I built into my life that helps me to be a considerate person when the chaos hits? Are you spending time in prayer and in reflection with God? That's the first step. Do you have a close circle of wise people around you that you can talk things through when the chaos hits? In the really tough seasons of life, are you aware enough to seek out professional help when you need it, to help you to process the chaos that's in your life? There's no shame in any of those things. In fact, I think it's a great reminder to us that seeking help is actually a sign of health and of strength. Now, granted, what Joseph was considering, what he was pondering, wasn't actually the best outcome for him or for Mary, no doubt. But I think it says something about him that he was willing to take the time to consider it, to think it over, to think what was best for both of them. It's a great reminder for each one of us. When life gets chaotic, be considerate. And then the second thing we can do when life gets chaotic is to be patient, because God will appear. Be patient. God will appear. These two preachers were having a conversation. One preacher says to the other one, "So how do you preach patience to your people and make it effective in their lives?" Other preacher responds to him, "By making the sermon so long that they have to practice it while they listen." Just kidding, I'm nearly done today. I won't make you go through. Survey time. Who is impatient? Okay. Who is patient? Sometimes. All right, it's about 50-50. I thought the impatience might have it, but well done, patient people. Waiting is hard, right? Especially when life plunges into chaos. I don't know about you, but I want answers. I want a solution and I want to move on. I want God to show up and show me what I'm supposed to do. And I'm sure that Joseph, being a righteous man, he wanted God to show up and to speak into his situation, to help him out amongst the chaos. Verse 20 to 21 says, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" So God does appear. He appears to Joseph through an angel in a dream. This angel confirmed Mary's story, a story that would be pretty much impossible to be confirmed in any other way. And just as with Mary, as we heard last week, the angel tells Joseph not to be afraid, not to fear what is coming, because his child conceived from the Holy Spirit will save his people from his sins. If you're in a season of chaos, or inevitably when a season of chaos hits, be patient. Be confident that God will appear. Trust that he's going to show up. And you know what? Sometimes It's to show us the way forward. For Joseph, it certainly was. It gave him a picture of what life was going to be like. But other times when God shows up, it's simply to reassure us. It's simply to remind us not to fear, to remind us that he is here with us, even amongst the chaos. God appeared in Joseph's life in a pretty obvious way. An angel spoke to him in his dreams. And I'm not sure about you, but certainly for me, an angel has never rocked up in my dreams. My dreams are crazy sometimes, never filled with angels. Now, I'm not denying that angels have appeared, but I think it's important to remind ourselves as we wait for God to show up, as we show patience, as we wait for him to appear in the chaos, that God appears to different people in different ways. And while I may not have heard from an angel in a dream, I have certainly had God appear in the chaos of my life in a letter that somebody wrote me, in worship, in the words of a friend as I'm running in the morning, in a song on the radio. Trust that God will speak to you, even through the small things in the midst of the chaos. When life gets chaotic, be considerate, be patient, because God will appear. And thirdly, when life gets chaotic, be obedient. When life gets chaotic, be obedient. See, this is the last part of this account that we've read today. The last part of Joseph's story as he accepts Jesus as his son is so simple, yet I think it is so profound. Verse 24 tells us that when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. He did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. It's simple. There's not really much for me to explain or to unpack about that today. He was obedient. He did what God was calling him to do. So then the question for each one of us today, amidst future chaos, what is God commanding you to do? What is he asking of you? Once you've considered what's going on in your life, once you've waited patiently for him to speak or to appear, even amongst the chaos, what does he want you to do? Because God is always at work, even amongst the chaos, sometimes despite it. And God has things for each one of us to do in the chaos. He wants us to be obedient to his call. And you know, sometimes obedience costs, because for Joseph, probably in that moment, from that moment up until the birth of Jesus, his decision to be obedient potentially cost him something. Potentially he was the talk of the town, but he knew what God wanted from him. He was to care for Mary and for this child who was sent to save his people, this child sent to bring hope to all humanity. So, when life gets chaotic, be considerate, be patient, be obedient. Like Joseph, all of those things are within our control. The chaos may not be, but our response to the chaos certainly is. Be considerate, be patient, be obedient. Away in a manger, it's so sweet. And we're going to sing those words now, but it doesn't really depict the true chaos of the moment of Jesus' birth, nor the lead up to it. So this morning, as we sing, may we be reminded that life, Jesus' life, Mary and Joseph's life, our lives are chaotic. And yet, we are not left without hope. We're not left without teaching and instruction and example from Scripture of how we might deal with it. When the chaos hits, Joseph shows us a way forward. Let me pray with you. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son. We thank you for the gift of Christmas time and all that it entails. And God, we know that we live just as Mary and Joseph did in a world of chaos. But God, we just pray that you would help us to deal with it in ways that are healthy. God, help us to be people who are considerate, who are patient and who wait for you. And ultimately, God, help us as your people to be obedient to what you're calling us to do. Thank you for the example of Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, who shows us how we can respond in times of chaos. And God, I want to pray for all of those people in our community who are facing chaos right now. God, may you be the peace in their trouble, in their heartache. May you speak to them. May they take the time to listen, God, and may they be obedient to your call in their life. We ask all these things in and through your precious name. Amen.